James Show is on in less than 1 minute.
Life! Life, you hear me? Give my creation life!
So this was fun.
You're gonna like this.
Let go!
Right now!
Well, this is it.
Let's get this over with.
So this is good. We got progress.
Are there any questions before we proceed?
Get counted down. 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
You have entered the restricted broadcast area. You have entered the restricted broadcast.
What your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country. I have a dream.
This is the Guy James Show. The Guy James Show, America's number one Democratic talk show. You've heard from the radical right. Now, all that's left is the truth. And now here's Guy James.
Hey there, everybody. Yes, indeed. Guy James here with you on a Thursday afternoon, coming to you from Southwest Florida, the beautiful sandy beaches and blue waters of Fort Myers, Naples area, Florida. Kind of a average day here today, kind of in the high 70s or so, and a few clouds in the sky. Other than that, nice day. Hope it's nice where you are as well, although I hear the Midwest is going to get slammed with another snowstorm tonight, and at least back in my old haunts in Ohio and that area, I hear they're going to get it but good tonight. Sorry about that. Hope to have a good show for you today. I hope you will participate. That's something I want to talk to you about here in a few minutes, about your participation in the show. And you can do that by giving us a call at 866-546-5254. I hope you won't be shy about calling if you agree or disagree with any of my opinions or statements that I make on the show. I'm in one of those funky moods today. Didn't sleep last night. I don't feel particularly good. I'm cranky. Tired, I'm pissed. Well, anyway, that's what you got to look forward to today on the show. I got a mountain of email last night after the show, and I'm not sure what prompted it altogether. Not exactly sure. Well, in a way I am. I mentioned yesterday, I talked a lot about yesterday. I went back and listened to some of the program. I talked a lot yesterday about unfairness in the press against Hillary Clinton. And I think by my saying that a lot of people take it that I've been on board with the Hillary Clinton campaign. And I want to let you know that I am not. I have not been on board with that campaign. She was not my first choice. I don't know what else to say. I'm for either one of these candidates to come out, and if I sound biased toward one or the other, I'm sorry. I just tell it like it is every day from what I report to you on things that I hear each of them have said and done and so forth, and their various positions on things. So that's what I do, and if I sound biased toward one, maybe I'll be biased toward one today and biased toward the other tomorrow. Quite frankly, I had a chance, and I'm talking out of school here, I had a chance early on to be a part of the Hillary Clinton campaign, and I chose not to, and I told him exactly why. So don't get the wrong idea. I talk about the interest of fairness here toward both of our candidates, and I've done that all along. I spoke with a friend last night who's in the media business, And basically, we were, I think I called for some support. I think we were crying on each other's shoulders about how we're going to be able to, you know, how are we going to be able to get through this election season without going absolutely nuts. Really, this is driving me crazy. How about you? I wonder. I'd love to ignore all of it for a while, but for obvious reasons, I can't. And I'd love to just stick my head in the sand and forget about it for a while. And I know that that's not the attitude of the perfect civic-minded politico, but damn, when is enough enough? As much as I love politics and all that goes along with it, I get tired of it now and then. I know some of you do as well. I'm a political junkie, but I'm a talk show host, and I'm expected to have an entertaining and informative program each day for my listeners. And like everybody on the Head-On Radio Network, I don't have a staff of writers like Limbaugh and Hannity, and I don't have a research staff or a director or producer. And the big syndicated shows pay for over 100 man-hours per show. And on my particular show, it's all on me. So, you know, they have a bit of an advantage when it comes to technical stuff and all that. And believe it or not, on show days, and I don't know if I've ever talked about this on the program or not, but on show days, I spend the entire day with show prep. The entire day. And then I do the show, and somebody's saying, well, it doesn't sound like it. Then I do the show, and afterwards I have dinner and relax for about an hour while I watch the news, maybe Tweety Bird or CNN or one of those, and it's back to research and back to more show prep for tomorrow. Trying to find audio on stories, trying to book special guests, and sometimes once in a while I write a monologue for the next day's show. I don't write monologues very often because I usually don't have to unless I think the point I want to get across deserves some really special attention. And you also don't know what the political subject of the day is going to be the next day sometimes as well. And you may have noticed that lately I haven't had very many guests on the show, and that's because the feedback I've received from many of my listeners indicate that you really aren't interested all that much in guests. Okay, fine. We'll have them now and then. But I want to give you what you want, so we won't have them every day. We could have guests every day. Sometimes it'd be famous folks they'd be household names, and other times it'd be people maybe you haven't heard of, but just as interesting or maybe more so than some of the big shots. I know a lot of you know a lot about the show and a lot about me. I've stated many times that I started this program over 5 years ago on local radio here in Naples and Fort Myers area. And I started streaming it on the net as well very shortly after we started broadcasting on terrestrial radio. And while on local radio, I receive a lot of phone calls each day, many. In fact, if I had wanted to, I could have taken calls for 2 solid hours every day. And finally, since the show was becoming somewhat popular in our area, the right-wing owners of the station decided to up the ante for airtime. And yes, we were paying for airtime. How else could a liberal show get on the radio station in this right-wing heaven I live in? And they decided to more than double the rate for the airtime. And when we said we couldn't pay that much, that's when they came back and told us, well, that's okay, your program doesn't meet the expectations of our conservative audience anyway. Well, fine. So we went silent for a couple of months, and I felt very bad about it, but I decided I had a mission, and that mission was to help the liberal community get out the message, get out our message, and to try and help even the playing field between the liberal media and the huge conservative media presence that's out there. They've got us, you know, 100-1. So we decided to build our own studio. And it was a very expensive project. It's state of the art. It's as nice as any radio studio you're going to find, at least in this area. As nice as any that I've ever been in. And we did this with the assurance from many of our listeners that they'd help share the cost. And really, to be frank with you, that has not happened. Yes, a few of you have been loyal contributors to the show, and I want to say a very special thank you. Because, believe me, we'd have gone dark a long time ago without your help. But from 99.9% of our audience, we don't get any financial assistance with the expenses. And this just, and I'm being honest with you here, this can't continue. And I know times are tough right now. I certainly feel it myself. Just pulling up at the gas pump gives me heartburn. And going to the grocery store, if you've noticed the prices there, that's a real wake-up call lately, too. And medical, you know, medical expenses, forget about it. But we need your help with this program, and we need it soon. And we just can't continue to pay 90% of the expenses ourselves. And as much as I want to, just can't do it without some additional help from you, our listeners. And don't forget, there's always an upside with this, what do they say, a silver lining to every cloud. And with us, it's that if we don't get the needed assistance, maybe you'll soon be able to get some terrific bargains on some very fine studio equipment on eBay. And if you should choose to help out the program, we would appreciate it very much. You can do it by going to our website, theguyjamesshow.com. Our address is on there. There's a PayPal button on there. Just telling you like it is, folks. Just telling it like it is. And I hope people will take heed of what I'm saying. And that goes for the whole doggone network. We don't drive around in Bentleys, believe me. Not even an old one, that's for sure. Hey, I wanted to read a letter that I got from Stuart yesterday, an email, and we were going back and forth about the rancor that's happening between the two campaigns. I happen to think that it's not that bad. I'm not buying into all this media hype about, oh my God, the mud they're slinging. I'm not buying it at all. Stuart sent me this, and I thought it was a wonderful analogy, and I just want to read it to you. Just take a moment. He said, I think having interest in sports helps one follow this primary. It's like a playoff where one team wins and then the other. And candidates are working the press. People see or imagine momentum, and some fans give up quickly. And some sports fans read the sports pages, and they're influenced by it. But they and the teams are also influenced the way the press is writing things. And now that leads to the problem. Just like in sports, people sort of choose a team and they cannot be objective. And they also find it hard to switch their loyalties after their team loses. And sometimes they even root for the next team to beat the team that beat their team, even though logic might tell you to do otherwise. So, I mean, if you're a Cleveland fan and Boston beat you, you may hate Boston so much you want the National League team, the Colorado Rockies, to beat them, even though logically you should want the Red Sox because they're the American League champ and that makes your team look better. So how do you get Obama and Hillary people to think like the fans who would want the American League team to win after their team candidate loses? A lot of it has to do with the way the playoff series is handled. If Boston plays fair and is complimentary and respectful of Cleveland and their fans, it's a lot easier for fans to gravitate. And that's what the candidates need to do. And, Stuart, I thank you for that. That is a very, very good analogy. I couldn't have put it better myself. I have not put it better myself. And I thank you very much for that. It's well thought out. And, I'm one of those people. In baseball, I've always been an American League fan. I've lost my interest in baseball since I found out that Mark McGwire was juiced up, and I just have lost my zeal for it, maybe even before that when free agency came along and ruined it. When Steinbrenner and Ted Turner start buying teams, I kind of lost it for baseball. So, but even back then, if somebody beat the Cleveland Indians, and I was a Cleveland fan because I was from Ohio, I always rooted for the American League team. And that's what Stuart's saying here. And like it or not, as much as even if it was the Yankees, I would root for the Yankees. I know, some of you Boston fans are saying, no, hell no, I would never root for the Yankees. Boy, those two don't like each other. I live in an area here, of course, the Boston Red Sox have their spring training here. And man, oh man, oh man, it seems like everybody around here is wearing a Boston Red Sox hat or shirt or something. It's really interesting. I want to let you in on something that happened here a short time ago. And none of you know about this except Bob. I mentioned this to Bob. We talked a little bit about it, and he hasn't even heard the gory details. So I'm really letting you in on an inside deal here. I used to have a program here, as I mentioned a few minutes ago, on Wink WNOG, 1240 AM. And they're the big studs around here on AM radio. And we did the show for quite a while on there. We were on their sister station for a while, and then we went to 1240. And did our show there, and we, like I said, we bought airtime there because nobody around here is going to let you on their precious airtime if with a liberal show unless you pay the piper. So that's what we did, and the local Democratic clubs and individuals and so forth and listeners supported the program. And it wasn't cheap, believe me, to buy airtime on a good AM station. And by good, I just mean... I don't mean good, because they've got right-wing talk on all day long. But I just mean the highest rated station in the area. So that's what we did, and we were on that show, and we, just because we were in the middle of right-wing heaven here, we never minced our words. But you folks know me. And you know how I operate, and you know that I get excited, and you know that I don't mind telling it like it is. That's just me. But one thing I have never done, I have mentioned Nazis on this program. I've never said this guy is a Nazi or that guy is a Nazi. I've never said that. Only ever used that in reference. In reference to that regime and their tactics. That's the only way I've ever used it. I would never say that George Bush is a Nazi or Dick Cheney is a Nazi. I wouldn't do it. And if you're familiar at all, and I am because I have a good friend who is in the Secret Service, if you're familiar at all with what happens when somebody threatens the President of the United States, you know that's a serious, serious matter. And they take it seriously, whether it's a joke or no matter what it is, they investigate, the Secret Service does, every single incident of that, and rightly so. So a person would be a fool, an absolute fool, to go on the radio or in the newspaper or any place and threaten the President of the United States. It's one of the most serious no-nos that you could ever do. And, of course, that's something I have never done, and I frankly don't know anybody that's ever done that. Well, a couple of weeks ago, I'm driving along in my automobile, and I have the radio on, and I'm listening to the show host, the morning host, of the local AM station, Wink WNOG 1240, here in Fort Myers. And I have it on, and she's spouting her, her name is Mandy Connell. I know her. As right wing, as far right wing as you can get. Always been, had a cordial relationship, even been on the program before to debate the local Republican Party chairman. And she's on in the morning, and she takes calls, And somebody called the program and was just giving it to her about, she made reference to, I can't think what that actress's name is. Anyway, she called a woman by a very unkind name on national TV, and it didn't go over so well. And somebody called the program and said, well, it's okay for you to complain about that, but how about Rush Limbaugh calling women feminazis? That's okay with you, but it's not okay for this actress, Jane Fonda, that's who it was, to call these women the C word. And I don't think it was all right for her to call people that either. Well, this guy was just giving it to her on the phone, and frankly, he was beating her to death with this. She was losing the argument, and she turned down his volume and the whole business. But here's what happened. She got mad, and she hung up on him, and this is on local radio, and she hung up the phone, and this is what immediately came out of her mouth after she hung up the phone. And again, this is on local radio, the big AM station here. This is what she said right after she hung up the phone from talking to this guy.
Oh, my God, you're an ass, and I know it's Guy James. You sound like you always sound, an idiot. A blithering, blithering idiot. And if you want to call in, Guy, use your regular name. You're not fooling anybody, you jerk. Rush calls militant feminists feminazis, because they engage in the same kind of, if you don't believe in our way, you can hit the highway behavior that the Nazis engaged in. So for a liberal person like you, who sat on these airwaves and called Republicans Nazis and said George Bush needed to go, I'm sure you threatened him at some point. You're a real piece of work. A real piece of work.
So that's what I was referring to. Did you hear the local radio host say that it was me that called, and which it wasn't, and hear her say that I'm sure at some point you threatened the president? Those are serious words. Those are very, very serious words. I was absolutely astonished that somebody would say this. And, of course, when I got to my office, I sat down and immediately fired off an email to this woman, this Mandy Connell. And she realized that what she had done was a big mistake. And it may turn out to be a very big mistake. And then she fell all over herself apologizing. She apologized that day, and she apologized on the following Monday. And I won't play you that day's apology. She realized the error of her ways. But here's her apology. This was on a Friday that this happened. Here's her apology the following Friday. Tell me what you think.
40 and 12, 70 Week News Time, 6:20 in the morning. Good morning. I'm Mandy Connell. This is Daybreak. I got a story here about how being fat is going to give you cancer. We'll get to that in just a second. But I want to clarify something. Last Friday in this segment, a caller called in, and he was obnoxious, and he sounded a lot like Guy James. And he made me mad, and irrationally, I lashed out and called Guy James everything but a child of God. And I feel very badly about this, because in my dealings with Guy, he has never been anything less than a stand-up individual, and I owe him a huge apology. He did not say any of the things that I attributed to him, and it is bothering me, and I just wanted to apologize again. He is, like I said, I disagree with everything Guy says politically, but he's never been anything but nice to me. And I just wanted to clarify, it was not him on Friday, and I acted irresponsibly by assuming that it was, and my apologies to Guy. He is understandably upset. I would be upset as well. And I just wanted to let him know that I sincerely, you know, my genuine apologies here, and I wanted to let people know that that's not Guy. He would have called in as himself, and argued the point as himself. And, again, I just wanted to throw that out there. Moving on, being obese.
So there you go. That's what happened. Do you find that interesting or not? I did. Quite naturally, I found it interesting. And it's possible it could turn out to be a whole lot more interesting before it's over. So what do you do? Do you accept an apology from someone who says on the radio that you had threatened the President of the United States? Do you accept an apology for that? I don't know. But there you have it. I thought you would find that interesting. And obviously from the way my email's lighting up here at the moment, I guess some of you did. The great technology we have today is good, is it not? You can go back and yank the audio and just about anything you want. And, of course, when I send a note to them in the first place, letting them know my displeasure about this, I defied you to find any incidents whatsoever when I had been stupid enough to threaten the President of the United States. And being accused of it is no fun, believe me. And it's an egregious error and hateful and all that. So I don't know. I don't know if, you know, we'll see. I'll keep you posted on what's going to happen. I will. 866-546-5254 if you'd like to give us a call. It's a toll-free number, you know, and we'll be back in just a couple of minutes.
If you don't clean up your room, the Board of Health is going to condemn it.
The Board of Health doesn't even know about your room. What's more, they don't care.
You know, if you keep making that face, it's going to freeze that way.
Not unless you're someplace really, really cold. Actually, a lot of the warnings moms hand out are a bit exaggerated.
If you don't get your blood pressure checked, you could have high blood pressure, not even know it, and you could die from a stroke.
But she's right about that one. Fact is, high blood pressure contributes to 200,000 American deaths each year, and a third of those who have high blood pressure don't know it. If they did, it'd be simple to treat. Call the American Heart Association at 1-800-AHA-USA1 or visit AmericanHeart.org on the web to learn more. Better still, ask your doctor to check your blood pressure.
If you run with those scissors,
it's the least you can do.
This is the Head On Radio Network, The Horn.
Tune in to Foxed Up this Thursday, midnight Eastern, where you'll hear my series titled Lenin on Lenin, Blame It on Rio. Part 1 features John's first interview in 5 years, just days before his death.
I started from the Mother album onwards, trying to shave off all imagery, pretensions of poetry, illusions of grandeur, I call a la Dylan, Dylan-esque.
So be there this Thursday, midnight Eastern, on Foxed Up. This is Billy Shears, and hey, thanks for lending an ear.
Very quickly, we talked to a lot of people in Ohio who said there really isn't that significant a difference between you two, and they'd like to see you both on the ticket.
Well, that may be where this is headed, but of course we have to...
What do you think about that statement Hillary made, that it may come to that? Do you think they're serious, or was that something where she got caught off guard a little bit? I wonder. I do wonder. Oh, we lost our caller. We just had a caller on the line, and they hung up. So we'll wait till they call back. I wonder if there are plans. I wonder if they've ever talked. You know, Hillary and Obama, have they ever? Has it ever been discussed? Has there ever been any inkling of it to one another at all with their campaigns? Hey, look, maybe we'd be looking at VP here for you, whichever one. It's easy for me to imagine. it's very easy for me to imagine because of his age and all that. That Barack Obama would accept the vice presidency from a Hillary Clinton led ticket. Look at his age. I mean, she could be in office for 8 years, and he could run after 8 years, slide right in there if everything goes well, and have 8 years himself, and still not be very old. That would be interesting. It's a little harder for me to think that Hillary could accept the vice presidency from an Obama campaign. It's probably a little harder for me to think that he would offer it. I don't know. What do you think about that? Do you think there's a possibility of having a ticket? You talk about a dynamite ticket? Oh, my God. Of course, it's showing up right now that maybe neither of them need it. Both of them are ahead, solidly ahead of McCain in the latest poll. Solidly ahead. So either of them that runs probably going to beat Mr. John Sidney McCain. Yes, his middle name is Sidney. John Sidney McCain. And how do you feel about Florida and Michigan? I live in Florida, and I got to tell you, I'm more than a little bit upset that I've been screwed out of my vote. And yes, I went to the polls and voted. Like, I don't know, a couple million other Floridians. And I guess I knew at the time that there's a great possibility it wouldn't count. But do you think the DNC will relent and allow the delegates to be seated without another election? And let's talk about that for a minute. How fair would this be? I know Hillary Clinton, for one, would love to have both of those states seated. Of course, Michigan's another story because Barack's name wasn't even on the ballot, and that wouldn't be fair. Wouldn't be fair to him at all. So something's got to be done, and now we're hearing rumblings that maybe, just maybe, that you know, Howard Dean is talking, Chairman Dean talking about having another election in Florida. Of course, there's the little problem of the $25 million it costs to run another election. There's that problem. And Charlie Crist, the governor here, says, well, you know, we can't, the state can't pay. The state of Florida is broke. Massive tax cuts by the Jebster Bush. They've just sliced $233 million off of the school budget. We've got local teachers here beside themselves. They're already terribly, terribly low-paid teachers here. We've got one of the worst school systems in the United States here in Florida, one of the lowest rankings. And so what do you do? Chris is mentioning the $25 million. Howard Dean's, well, I don't think so. You've got the DNC. Are they going to foot a $25 million bill at a time when they need all the cash they can get their hands on to run a campaign? Lots of campaigns. I can't see that happening. And then there's another point, another very serious issue. If we have a do-over here in Florida, then I can't vote for the person I voted for in the first primary. How fair is that? Even though I'd get a do-over and I'd have some say here, I wouldn't get to vote for the person I originally voted for. Just not right all the way around. I happen to think that the Florida Democratic Party was nuts in the way they dealt with the DNC over this. They tried to bully their way in, and of course the DNC then got their backed up, and they end up having this squabble, and they couldn't settle it. They're trying to settle it now, but it's not working out so well, and I don't know what the answer is. I really don't. I don't know what's going to be worked out. And let's head on over to the phone. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show. Hello. Well. Hello. Well. Somebody called and hung up again. Don't know why that is. We're not having any trouble with our phone lines. just check them again. They're fine. So if you want to call back, go right ahead. I'd be glad to have you. So, you know, going back to this this do-over again, what'll happen? What do you think will happen? And what's fair? I know we've got to be practical about it. I won't get to vote, and many people in Florida won't get to vote for who they originally voted for. Yes, Hillary Clinton did carry the state easily. And nobody campaigned here, really. So what would happen here? What would happen if they have a do-over and Barack and Hillary came to our fair state here and just campaigned in the manner that both of them do? You know, they're both hard-charging campaigners. It'd be interesting to see how it would turn out. I would love to see how it would turn out. I hope we have a do-over, but I don't know how they're going to do it. I really don't. Let's try the phones again. Hello, you're on the Guy James Show.
Well, Guy, it's Dave, and I tried earlier, but it just stopped ringing on me, so I didn't know that you even able to see the light.
Aren't you getting a message when it stops ringing?
No, just stopped.
No.
And this time your machine answered, and you said, "I'll get to you soon."
Oh, okay.
But as you know, we go back a long time together, and we've many times discussed it. I personally have very, very little faith whatsoever in the voting machines, the voting system. I believe they were designed to cheat. I believe that the Republicans are cheaters in every way that they can. They try to conceal from us what's going on inside those machines. So I that just scares me. You know, I'd like to believe, you know, like I've seen some good things happen, like your friend just got reelected in Cincinnati, but I believe that they can take any number of votes from one candidate and give them to another candidate. I believe they can do that. I think they can go in a modem and take them and switch them and flip them, and that scares me. And we got to get rid of those damn things.
Well, I'd sure love to go back to paper ballots all the way across the board. That's the only way to have it, in my opinion.
Something that you can see and verify. Some of us have been discussing in the chat your offender there, the right-wing lady. She's thinking lawsuit. She's figuring that she's done a real no-no. I'm not a lawyer. What I do know of law is usually you have to incur some damages, and somebody like that bad-mouthing you on the phone probably does you more good than harm. I don't know.
Well, I don't mind if they call you stupid. I don't mind if they call you an idiot, all that stuff. That's, you know, you're a public figure. They can do that. But when they start alleging that you've done something that's criminally wrong, I think maybe they got a problem there. I'm thinking. We'll see. In fact, I'll be finding out tomorrow, actually.
Well, so, you know, I don't think she's motivated out of a sincere regret for having harmed her friend Guy. I think she's
no.
been warned that that could cost $1 million or something.
She's not my friend. She's just somebody that I know in the business. And let me tell you exactly what happened down there at the radio station. They used to have a guy on in the morning that was very, very good, very good. And he was a little bit of a lefty. And they brought, as radio stations do, the ones that have all the right-wingers on in the afternoon, they called, they had a consultant come in, and they called everybody together and said, "Hey, whatever you do, don't say anything whatsoever that would clash with any of the opinion of any of our right-wing radio hosts." Well, this guy, he couldn't live with that, and he ended up being ousted from the station, and she ended up taking over the job. That's how she got it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I'm talking out of school here, telling local secrets, but that's what happened.
No, it's I would suspect something like that would happen.
Well, can you imagine though? I'm driving down the road and I have this thing on because she talks pretty wild sometimes. I mean, it's a hardcore right wing show. I mean, really hard. And can you imagine my surprise? I'm. You know, I got my morning coffee, and I'm driving down the road, and all of a sudden, and I'm hearing this guy talk to her, and I'm going, "Yeah, yeah, that's good, that's good." And then I hear her hang up and say, "That's Guy James." And I'm like, "Whoa." A little bit of a shock.
Yeah, she was just saying you could just call under your own name.
Yeah.
Are you sure that at some point you've threatened the life of the president? That's kind of some bold, crazy stuff to put out there.
Yeah, and it wasn't like I'm somebody that hides around here. I'm well known in this area, and I was on that station. I sat in that very chair where she was at, in that very studio, and I was invited down there to debate the local Republican county chair, so it's not like it's any secret of who I am and what I am. So I, you know, why all that happened, I don't know. But anyway, it was a bit shocking.
Well, I would talk to a lawyer about it. See, you know, that.
Well, we'll keep you posted on what's happening there.
Yeah, that's good. My main issue, of course, is always, you know, my fear that these machines are designed to cheat. And you will go back to the days of Clint Curtis, who was asked to design the...
Oh, yeah.
So it would leave no record, so that it could be entered and flipped and would leave no record of what had happened. Some of the machines have been made more credible since then. But under this Help America to Vote, they had these machines put in all over the place on the idea that they would be the way handicapped people could vote. Well, it's not going to make it one damn bit easier if somebody has no arms or legs or is blind or something. That machine is not going to do anything for them. Somebody being right there helping them maybe would be a big help, but...
Yeah.
So they put them in for a reason, and they expanded the numbers for a reason. And, you know, they can enter polls, too. If you run a poll and then you put your data on the computer, zap, they can go in the modem there and they're in the computer and they can have the results of the poll come out the way it was. You know, one clear example of that I think you would recall and it would be convincing. Slipped right out of my mind, but we had speakers there that included Jimmy Carter and Al Gore and Al Sharpton, and there was some very well done. It was a most excellent convention.
Oh, the Take Back America conference?
No, this no? was the last time. It was when they gave us Bob Kerry from Massachusetts to be our Democratic candidate.
John Kerry, yeah. Okay.
And, yeah, and so that was a very, very excellent... Is the word convention?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Then and they went into the polls and said, oh, it's a negative bounce. You know, the people that watched all of that and heard all those excellent, very informative speakers, humor, it resulted in a negative bounce because they can go into the computer and flip those kind of results. And then the Republican convention, which is all kinds of anger and hate, and that gives them a positive bounce. That's high-tech goons going inside of the computers and flipping results around. So...
Well, it's something I only hope can get better.
Oh, I do too, but you know... They've designed this. They've expanded it all. The Patriot Act is just to allow Republicans to invade our privacy and cheat in every way they want to do it. And that's what it's all about.
Hey, Dave, thanks for your call. Good to hear from you.
Thank you, Guy.
Yeah, bye now. Who knows if we'll ever get back to voting with paper ballots all across the country. A lot of them doing it with the optical scan now. I'm even okay with that as long as we got the paper ballots left, and you know, they got the little circles on them. Those are okay. But I see on the chat room people are talking about weather. They're supposed to get some nasty weather up north today, and you know what that'll do? That'll just send some more people to South Florida. And if there's anything we don't need right now, it's more people in South Florida. That's for sure. Hey, congratulations to Barack Obama. Yeah, that's really something. He made the cover of the Rolling Stone. He did. Barack Obama on the Rolling Stone. I thought that was great. And so here's to Barack Obama.
Well, we're big rock singers. We got golden fingers, and we're loved everywhere we go.
That sounds like us.
We sing about beauty, and we sing about truth at $10,000 a show.
Right.
We take all kind of pills that give us all kind of thrills, but the thrill we never know. It's the thrill that'll get you when you get your picture on the cover of the Rolling Stone.
Rolling Stone.
Wanna see my picture on the cover?
Stone.
Wanna buy 5 copies for my mother?
Yes.
Stone. Wanna see my smiling face on the cover of the Rolling Stone?
That's a very, very good idea.
I got a freaky old lady named a Cocaine Kitty who embroiders on my jeans. I got my poor old gray-haired daddy driving my limousine.
Now it's all designed to blow our minds, but our minds won't really be blown. Not the blow that'll get you when you get your picture on the cover of the Rolling Stone.
Rolling Stone.
Wanna see our pictures on the cover?
Stone.
Wanna buy 5 copies for our mother?
Yeah.
Wanna see my smiling face on the cover of the Rolling Stone? Teenage blue-eyed groupies would do anything we say. We got a genuine Indian guru. He's teaching us a better way. We got all the friends that money can buy, so we never have to be alone. And we keep getting richer, but we can't get our picture on the cover of the Rolling Stone.
Stone.
Wanna see my picture on the cover?
Stone.
Wanna buy 5 copies for my mother?
Stone.
Wanna see my smiling face on the cover of the Rolling Stone?
On the cover of the Rolling Stone.
Wanna see my picture on the cover?
We ain't on the cover, baby.
Wanna buy 5 copies for my mother?
Stone. I ain't kidding.
Wanna see my smiling face?
We will make a
on the cover of the Rolling Stone.
Front smiling man. Oh, beautiful.
Hey, what happened there? On the cover of the Rolling Stone. Yes, indeed. Congratulations to Barack Obama. That's terrific. And it was a good, damn good picture, too. Very good picture of Barack Obama on there. I was really happy to see that. I think it's really terrific. 866-546-5254 if you'd like to join the conversation here. We'd love to have you. Yeah, you know, just as an aside, I'm a dog lover. Yeah, I know a lot of you know that. We've got our official Guy James Show puppies here, Sophie and Kukla, our little Yorkies. And in fact, they're somewhere outside the studio right now lurking. But I do love dogs. And I can't say that I always did. I'm born and raised on the farm, and we always had big dogs, you know, and they were outside, and you put out food for them and all, and they were your companion and all, but they weren't little yappers like these little dogs. And so I never was a little dog guy until not long ago. And got these Yorkies, got one and got another, and I think I've probably mentioned I'm ashamed of how bad these little pups have me wrapped around their little paws. They do. My point here is, did you see that absolutely horrible, disgusting videos about one of our soldiers over there throwing that puppy off that cliff yesterday? I was absolutely horrified. Just horrified. It takes a special kind of monster to do a thing like that. And the guy that stood there and filmed it's a special kind of monster as well. And I just, they didn't do our military people any favors either. People are going to think that everybody's like that, and they're not. But just an ugly, ugly, ugly thing. Ugly thing. Very ugly. Getting back to the politics of the thing, looking at the market today, we're getting close to the end of the market today. The Dow's down 177 points at the moment. Where are we at on oil today? Where is it at here? Oil is... Well, gold's down $11. It's down all the way down to $9.77. Jeez. And last I saw, oil was, crude was about, okay, there it is, $105.47. Whoa. That means putting gas in the old family truckster is going to be more and more and more. I was thinking last night after the show, and I tried to answer all the email, and I'm sorry if I didn't get to some of yours about yesterday's program. I don't think, to be fair, on this whole election, I don't think that either one of these candidates, Barack Obama or Hillary Clinton, I don't think either one of them deserve the terrible animosity coming from the supporters of the other side. And I don't understand it. Don't understand it. And by the same token, most likely neither of them deserve all the rock star treatment either. We should be all about electing a leader instead of a run around swooning over candidates like they were Elvis and Madonna or something. I don't know. I just I don't get it. I think Stewart's analogy earlier on about the baseball team has great merit to it. I don't understand the hatred. I don't, and there's certainly a lot of it boiling over out there, and I do not get it. I do not get it. And no matter which one of the candidates you're for, the other one certainly doesn't deserve hatred. And the terrible animosity coming from the backers of both sides. So I hope people will cool it on that. I think they will. And I'm not particularly worried about the negative campaigning and all that. I happen to agree that this has been a cakewalk so far. I've been around a long time. I've seen a lot of primaries. And I don't think this is any big deal at all. The little bit of negativity that we've had, I just don't think it's that notable. We'll see. 866-546-5254. I see the GOP is having a little problem. And I was planning on having a tune for you to play along with this, but called Ain't It a Shame. The FBI investigates missing GOP money. Remember, these are the people of personal responsibility. These are the people that can't find a million emails. Hundreds of thousands of dollars are missing from the New York Times, it says, and presumed stolen from the chief fundraising arm of the House Republicans, according to House to party officials who described the findings of emergency internal audits. Oh, this breaks my heart. The financial records of the group, the National Republican Congressional Committee, may have also been falsified for several years, Republican officials said. Can you imagine them? Imagine how much this hurt them to admit this, but they had to. And the campaign committees of several Republican lawmakers may also have been victims of a scam that is now under criminal investigation by the FBI. The audits were ordered after the abrupt departure several weeks ago of Christopher J. Ward, who'd been the treasurer of the committee. I heard about this several weeks ago. I was told by a Washington insider that this had happened and to watch out for this, and here it comes. He had been the treasurer of the committee. Lawmakers said that Mr. Ward, who served a similar role for dozens of individual members of Congress and their political committees, is the focus of the FBI's criminal investigation. The committee has acknowledged publicly that it was aware of irregularities in our financial audit process and that it had called the FBI in February because these irregularities may include fraud. But until now, the committee has not acknowledged that any money was missing from its bank accounts or that the financial irregularities might extend beyond the National Committee to the campaign funds of individual Republican lawmakers who also worked with Mr. Ward, a longtime party operative. You know, they've been screwing us collectively for a long time now. And they're done with us, evidently, and they're starting in on each other. I love it. The Republican official says they couldn't discuss the details of their findings on the record because of the continuing criminal investigation. A lawyer for Mr. Ward, a law firm in Washington, by the way, had no comment. And a spokesman for FBI's Washington field office acknowledged that the Bureau had opened an investigation at the request of the Republican committee. Now, here's what is something I found very interesting over this whole thing. Mr. Ward, this is the guy that quit and the guy that's been accused of all this now. Mr. Ward had been treasurer of the National Republican Committee since 2003. He had also been a partner in a private campaign consulting firm called Political Compliance Services that gained notice in the 2004 presidential campaign because of its work on behalf of Swift Boat Veterans for Truth, a group that ran advertisements that criticized the military record of Senator John Kerry of Massachusetts, the Democratic presidential nominee. Couldn't we all have told them that any man or woman who would sink low enough to have worked on behalf of the Swift Boat Veterans for Truth, couldn't we have told them that anybody with the morals to do that would be somebody you wouldn't want handling your checkbook? Fascinating to have somebody on their staff that would sink so low to get involved with the Swift Boat. Even if you're a Republican and you think, oh good, this is working, you'd have to know that it was immoral, unethical, and every other name you can put on like that. And they let this guy have the checkbook? Guys doesn't have a conscience. How could you let somebody have your checkbook if he's got no conscience? And yet they did it. And I'm damn glad. I think it's a great story. I wonder how much, several hundred thousand dollars they're talking about. Too bad he didn't clean them out of all of it. What'd he do with it? Well, we'll just see. He's innocent until proven guilty, you know. I don't want to say the guy's guilty. I really don't know. But that's quite a story. I saw that today. Big old title, FBI investigates missing GOP money. Ain't it a shame? Karma, my friends. Karma. Sometimes it does actually come around, and I'm not one that feels really bad over that story. Gosh, we're coming up on news here in just a couple of minutes. Where does this hour go already? I want to talk about the second hour a little bit about John Sidney McCain. I want to talk a little bit about him every day from now on. And also I want to talk a little bit about the economy, something that's really affecting all of us and in a big way. Is it affecting you? Have you noticed grocery prices? Grocery prices, just gone through the roof. And as we mentioned last week, they're trying to blame it all on gasoline or diesel fuel to deliver the groceries to the grocery store. Well, okay, you got an extra $100 worth or $200 worth in a tractor trailer with 55,000 pounds of groceries on it. That doesn't add up to the big increases that they've got across the board in the stores. I don't know about where you are. Groceries always go up here this time of year because when the snowbirds down, the grocery stores gouge them. But we had it long before the snowbirds got here this year. It's been outrageous, the price of groceries and milk and everything else. So hey, you're listening to the Guy James Show here on the Head On Radio Network. Billy Shears, music director. Proud member of the Head On Radio Network. And we're going to pause for news coming up here in a moment. And we'll be right back. I see the market's now down 222 points.
By the International News Net.
Boston College Law School will not award its highest honor to Attorney General Michael Mukasey when he speaks at its May commencement. Mukasey's appearance has been criticized for supporting torture. Arizona Republican Congressman Rick Renzi, who was indicted last month for extortion, wire fraud, money laundering, and other crimes, pleaded not guilty Tuesday. Renzi is also being investigated by the House Ethics Committee, but maintains he is innocent and will not resign. The U.S. trustee filed a second lawsuit against mortgage lender Countrywide Financial, accusing the company of abusing the bankruptcy process. Countrywide Home Loans was accused of wrongly asserting claims related to the property of two Miami borrowers. The earlier lawsuit accused Countrywide of abusing the bankruptcy process. Naim Qassem, Hezbollah's deputy leader, said Wednesday Hezbollah is ready for another war with Israel, but it will not start one. Qassem warned that Israel will pay a high price in any future war. His comments followed last month's threat by Hezbollah leader Sheikh Hassan Nasrallah to retaliate with an open war against Israel for the assassination of one of his top commanders, Imad Bougainvillea, who was killed February 12th in Damascus. Hezbollah and Iran, its main backer, blamed the assassination on Israel, which denied any role. Qassem said Hezbollah is well prepared to face an Israeli, American, and international war, possibly in reference to the recent deployment of U.S. warships off the coast of Lebanon. In 2006, more than 1,000 Lebanese and 159 Israelis were killed in the Second Lebanon War. Israel claims Hezbollah has an arsenal of 10,000 long-range and 20,000 short-range rockets. Treasury Secretary Henry Paulson accused Iranian banks of deception Wednesday and said the U.S. Treasury was pressuring foreign banks dealing with Tehran to respect U.N. sanctions. The U.N. imposed new sanctions on Iran Monday for refusing to suspend uranium enrichment, which Washington and its allies claim is a step toward building a nuclear bomb. Paulson said, quote, they use Iranian state-owned banks to engage in their weapons proliferation, acquisition of missile systems, and they're continuing to enrich nuclear fuel. The latest sanctions increase the number of individuals and firms on a travel and asset freeze blacklist and called for vigilance over Iranian bank and shipping firms. These include several of Iran's top state-owned banks, including its largest, Bank Mellie.
Out on the racetrack, a professional driver knows he's surrounded by other pro drivers.
NASCAR legend and racing champion Rusty Wallace.
When you drive a truck for a living, the only professional around might be you. All the more reason to buckle up every trip, every time. Because out on the highway, trouble can come from anywhere, and it can happen in a heartbeat. If you're ever in a crash, the smartest and the safest place for a trucker to be is behind the wheel, secure and in control of your truck, looking out for yourself and everybody around you. Without your safety belt, you could easily get bumped out of position, and that means out of control. Trust me, that's not good on the racetrack, and it's not good on the highway. So be ready. Be buckled. Remember, you're the professional, the one who drives for a living.
A public service message from the U.S. Department of Transportation.
Guy James Show is on in less than 1 minute.
Life! Life, you hear me? Give my creation!
action!
So this was fun.
You're gonna like this.
Let go!
Right now!
Well, this is it.
Let's get this over with.
So this is good. We got progress.
Any questions before we proceed?
Begin countdown. 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
You have entered the restricted broadcast area. You have entered the restricted broadcast area.
What your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country.
I have a dream.
This is the Guy James Show.
The world is getting older. There's a few things to be said.
The Guy James Show, America's number one Democratic talk show. You've heard from the radical right. Now, all that's left is the truth. And now here's Guy James.
Wow, I'm surprised. Before we went to the break, I was talking about the price of groceries, and little did I know that would set off quite a conversation on the chat room. And by the way, if you're listening via another method, be sure and stop by the Head On Radio Network chat room. Lots of good folks on there. You'll find a friendly conversation, and you might find us. I was reading that during the break and looking at email as well, and a lot of people are putting up there exactly what they're doing to get ready for some hard times, stocking away canned meats and canned vegetables and cornmeal and dry milk and fill in the freezer. I did notice. I like to make every month or two, make a big old pot of ham and bean soup or chili, and I noticed it made some really great Cajun 15 bean soup a couple weeks ago. Was it good? A little andouille sausage in it and a 15. But anyway, buying the beans now. It'd been a little while since I bought beans because I usually buy several bags of them and keep them in the pantry. So I hadn't bought any for a long time, and God, I went into the store to buy just a regular bag of Great Northern beans, and it was like $2.49. I about fell over. The last time I bought them, I thought they were like $1.29 or so. So it's getting serious. And I've talked to a lot of people who have cut back on the quality of what they're eating a lot less meat, a lot less beef and pork and chicken. Look how expensive chicken is now. That to me is fascinating, the price of chicken. I don't eat chicken. I'm a weird one. I think I've mentioned to you before, if it swims or flies, I won't eat it. I don't know why. I don't know why it's that way. But it's outrageous, the price of chicken nowadays, and just about everything in the grocery store. And of course, I like to go on Thursdays. In fact, I will go later on this evening because the local public supermarket, that's the day they have all their two-for-one things. So I go through the store and buy the buy-one-get-one-free thing. But you got to watch them. I noticed here a while back on Miracle Whip. They had one jar of Miracle Whip. What was it? Don't quote me. I think it's a 32-ounce jar for $3.75. Buy one and get one free. But they had it marked at $4.29, and then a week later they had the individuals at $3.75. So it's still a good deal to get the buy one get one free. But man, I just don't know what people are to do, and I know many people, and not many at my age, but I know some people that have got a couple kids, and buying milk, whoa. It's one thing I miss. When I was a kid growing up, and some of you are aware of this and some of you aren't, we would go out to the bulk tank. In those days, you milked the cows, and And when the milkers first came out, you weren't milking them by hand anymore, and you'd hook up the milkers, you know, and the milk would go flow through these plastic pipes and go into this big stainless steel tank, and I'm sure they still do it that way, and go into this nice big stainless steel tank, and there you had whole milk, and it was ice cold. Oh, man, we'd go out and get a pitcher of that for dinner. Drank a lot of milk when I was a kid. But it was just absolutely wonderful. Now I see the Dow. I don't understand. The Dow just a moment ago was down 222 points at 5 minutes after four, and now it's showing minus 71. How could it have gained 150 points after it closed? Somebody want to explain that one to me? Wow. But getting back to the groceries, you know, I don't know what milk is in your area right now, but it's just god-awful. And so I know people that are buying, you know, powdered milk and all, and cutting back, you know, starting to buy the store brands. I buy store brands. I don't mind saying that. I buy store brands wherever I can. But people that normally buy the good stuff, the macaroni and cheese by Kraft or whatever, they're now buying the store brands. I talked to a grocer about that here a while back. He said the store brands are selling extremely well, and don't the grocery stores know it because they're raising the prices on those too. In fact, they've raised those percentage-wise more than they have the other things. So, well, so much for groceries, but I'm sure you've all felt it. And we were just talking with my wife last night, the price of gasoline now. What is it where you're at? It's currently $3.29 here, most every place. We're paying more for gasoline with two cars, and it's necessary to have two cars, but paying more is outrageous. It's just absolutely outrageous. It's over double what it was, a year ago or so, 14 months ago? It's over double what it was then. So, thank you, George Bush, for all the great work you've done on these oil prices. I see the Saudis certainly listen to you, and the OPEC folks listen to you. Listened very well. Asked to increase production. So I don't understand this stock market thing. Is anybody else seeing that? I don't understand what has happened there. I don't know how it could happen. It could be down 222 and then go back. Okay. It was a mistake on the posting. Now it's back to closed at 214, minus 214. And one of the reasons for that is, as you well know, is this credit problem. And we do have a terrible credit problem in this country right now. As I mentioned to you last week, one of the, or maybe it was Tuesday I mentioned it, had somebody in the financial market tell me that next year they're expecting automobile repossessions to go absolutely crazy. That so many people bought off, you know, all these advertising, this advertising that's going on, you know, low lease payments, low, you know, dollar down and dollar a month. Well, car payments have gotten out of hand. And the average car loan now, they were saying, was $31,000. $31,000, the average car loan. Imagine what the payments are for that. I saw them advertising a luxury car on TV the other night. The highest car payment I've ever seen advertised on TV was $998 a month with about, what, $6,000 down? Something like that for a lease. It was an expensive Beamer of some kind, 740i or something like that. And credit cards. People are maxing out their credit cards. People were borrowing money on their homes. They can't do that anymore. And now there's a real problem out there. And they can't borrow money on their homes, so they're turning to credit cards. Because wages aren't keeping up with the price of things. God knows they're not keeping up with the groceries and all that. So we just got a monstrous problem on our hands with that. And who knows where that's going? I'm trying to take a look and see. Here's the story I was looking for. Home equity. home equity is slipping below 50%. The first time since 1945 that people's debt on their houses exceeds their equity. First time since 1945. The Americans' percentage of equity in their homes has fallen below 50% for the first time on record since 1945, and this comes from the Federal Reserve. Homeowner percentage of equity slipped to a revised lower 49.6% in the second quarter of 2007, and they go on to say the value of equity also fell for the third straight quarter to $9.65 trillion, down from $9.93 trillion in the third quarter. The home equity, which is equal to the percentage of a home's market value minus the mortgage-related debt, has steadily decreased even as home prices jumped earlier this decade due to a surge in cash-out refinances. Well, now there's the problem. There's one of the problems we have right now. There's very little cash-out financing going on right now. Very, very little. And the credit card companies are taking full advantage of that. I spoke to a gentleman the other day that had a credit card. He said he had not noticed the interest rate on it. Now, I questioned this, but he had not noticed the interest rate on this credit card. And he got to looking at it and found out that it was 26.9%. That's Al Capone type stuff there. I mean, did Al Capone get 20? I don't know. 26.9%. So he called him. And he said he'd never been late on a credit card payment with him or anything. He called him and said, hey, help me out on this. And he said, okay, we'll let you know. And we'll lower it for you. We can tell you that right now. We'll lower it for you. So he looked forward to getting this note in the mail from him. I don't know which one it was. MasterCard, Visa, I don't know what bank it was. But they lowered it all right. They sent him a note, and he got the following week, said they lowered it from 26.9 to 24.9. And he promptly paid it off. It wasn't that big of a balance anyway. It's just one of those things that had gone on for a long, long time and hadn't noticed the terrible price that they got off of it. But Carl Levin and Claire McCaskill of Missouri are introducing legislation now to stop abusive credit card practices. They introduced it a long time ago, and they still haven't gotten it passed. But some of the things that have gone on is these excessive fees, and it's making it really hard for people to climb out of debt. And so they did introduce some legislation, and they haven't gotten it passed yet, but they're working on it to try and put an end to this terrible abuse by these credit card practices that really affects so many American families. And the problem is some of these practices have become so entrenched and so profitable to the credit card companies that they're going to fight tooth and nail to keep them, keep it up where it is. And they've just, I was reading a story the other day that they've got the terrible fees for being over the limit and for being late. Talked to a person the other day that told me that they'd been late in three times in the last 6 months, and it was simply because the credit card company hadn't posted it on time. And I say, hey, we didn't get it. And, you know, he mailed it like 2 weeks ahead of the due date. And they claim they didn't get it. And, you know, they're screwing people. That's all there is to it. There's no other way to say it. And huge profits being made off. That's why I don't feel sad for most of these banks that are having crunches right now. I don't feel sad about it at all. What they're trying to get done, Levin and McCaskill, is to have no interest on the debt paid on time, that no trailing interest. That's interest charges on credit card debt, which the cardholder paid on time and in full. and limits on penalty interest. They want to put a limit on that as well and apply interest rate increases only to future debt, not on, like, if you got a card and they send you a notice saying, hey, we've raised your interest rate to 25%. Well, not on what you already owe, but on something that you may incur in the future. So they're running wild, they're running amok, and they're supposed to be letting the banking committee know all about their practices and procedures and submit paperwork on that all along, and they haven't been doing it. Nobody's been making them do it. But we hear Junior Bush talking about that we're undergoing a slowdown and a recession, according to 61% of Americans. 61% of the people think it's a recession. You know, if you wonder if we're having a recession, don't go ask the Fed. Don't go ask Junior Bush. Ask your neighbor. The people know. The people know. 866-546-5254 if you'd like to give us a call here on the Guy James Show today. We'd love to hear from you. And we'll be back in just a moment. Now, you got that. You got that phone number. Use it. 866-546-5254. That's toll free. 866-546-5254. We hope you'll give us a call. Have you had fun buying groceries lately? Have you had fun buying gasoline lately? Is this affecting you in a tough, tough way? Or have you had just to pull your belt in one notch instead of several, like some people? Rough economy right now. Very rough economy. Foreclosures have hit an all-time high. We are now up to 900,000. Imagine a crowd of 900,000 people losing their homes. That's up 71% from a year ago. And not only that, if that were the end of it, that would be bad enough. But the number of homeowners that are behind on their house payments is also at a record high. Another 381,000 saw the foreclosure process started during this quarter, which was also a record. And the number of mortgage borrowers who were over 30 days late on a payment in the last 3 months of 2007 is at the highest rate since 1985. And Jared Bernstein, whom we had on the show a while back at the Economic Policy Institute, said, boy, that was ugly. Well, it doesn't seem like it's going to let up anytime too soon. He said it's another reminder that anyone who thought we'd hit bottom was wrong. This was a huge bubble, and when a bubble of this magnitude breaks, it creates a huge mess. And it could take a lot longer for the correction to work through the system. Oh, great. Great. And one of the reasons that it may take so long is that there doesn't seem to be any end in sight for the falling home prices. They're dropping every day. I don't know how they are where you live. Where we originate from here in Southwest Florida is one of the steepest declines in the entire country. Property is going down 30-40%, and that's that's a hit. That is a hit, especially in a lot of people upside down in their homes now. No, not literally upside down. They owe more on than it's worth. Imagine that. During all the easy credit, people went out and bought homes and say they were a couple hundred thousand dollars. Now the value of them's down to 130. Tough deal. Real tough deal. But maybe the Republicans will straighten it out. Maybe, you know, they want to elect another one. It's worked out so well these past 7.5 years, or what, 7.25 years, whatever it is. There are a lot of people out there, and you know some, I know some. There'll be millions of people go to the polls on November 5th and pull the lever for John Sidney McCain. They will. You know that. Allow me to make a case for electing John Sidney McCain. Now, we could probably make a case for electing him, couldn't we? We just mentioned that 2% of all mortgages are in foreclosure at the moment and climbing. The number of mortgages over 30 days late on payments is skyrocketing. I think we already mentioned that oil hit $105 a barrel today. Last I looked, the dollar stood at $1.53 against the euro. No wonder we've got a record number of people coming over here from Europe to vacation where I live. It's the cheapest thing. They can't vacation at home as cheap as they can fly over here and vacation. And the market's still plunging. The dollar's going down. But then the guy who endorsed John Sidney McCain for the presidency yesterday at the White House, he's all cheery and optimistic about the whole deal. Did you see him tap dancing on the front? Oh, my God, will it ever end, the embarrassment. And so John Sidney McCain, the guy the Republicans have chosen to succeed Junior Bush, wants to increase spending, has said he wouldn't mind keeping our military in Iraq for 100 years if necessary, and he wants to cut taxes some more. And then since our illustrious banks and financial institution had so much success with bundling those subprime mortgages and selling them to Europeans, they now want to do the same thing with car loans. Did you read that? They want to do the same thing with car loans, knowing that car loans are about to join the housing market as the next big loser. Don't forget, we're winning the war. Just ask Bush and John Sidney McCain. They'll tell you. Yeah, they've got their flag pins, their religious pledges. And I'm sure you're starting to recognize it by now, the same old rhetoric about only dealing with the enemy. And that's anybody that's they don't agree with, most particularly any Muslim. They always talk about dealing with the enemy from a position of strength. Same old crap about being there in the name of freedom. And the same old unaccountability. The same old damn the law executive branch. The same old idiots blaming it all on liberals. The same old stupid, ignorant, irrational conservatives are going to go to the polls and they're going to pull the lever for John Sidney McCain. Of course, we won't know for a while yet. The media is too busy telling us that Hillary Clinton is the wicked witch of the West and Barack Obama is some sort of closet terrorist who hates America. For a while yesterday, I was a bit ashamed of my response to a listener's email when I mentioned in it that many Americans are just plain stupid. Today, I've changed my mind. I'm not ashamed of that statement. It's a fact. But be sure and vote for John Sidney McCain, and you can help all of that I've just mentioned come true. And I'm sure there are people listening that do want that to come true. Remember that picture of Bush and John Sidney McCain standing on the portico of the White House yesterday? Because that's what you're getting, baby. If you pull the lever for John Sidney McCain, you're getting 4 more years of Junior Bush. And just imagine how wonderful that will be. Just think back how great these last 4 years, these last 7 1/4 years, just think how great they've been. The country is just absolutely prospering. The world is at peace. There's a chicken in every pot. Oh, my God, things are wonderful. And you'll go out and vote for some more of it, some of you will. You'll go ask for more, bend over, give me some more, sir. That's what millions of people are going to do. Do any of you understand that? Somebody please help me understand that because I cannot. How could you be so blind as to see what has happened in this country over the last 7 years in the Bush administration and order up another serving of it, which is exactly what you're getting with John Sidney McCain? I read an article today that said that he has fondness and affection for Junior Bush. Let me ask you, knowing what Karl Rove, Junior's brain, and Junior did to John Sidney McCain in the 2000 South Carolina primary, how could you sink low enough to have any affection or any trust in a man like that whatsoever? How could you? And I hear the right-wing talkers, I read synopsis of their shows, I catch a segment here and there, some of the shows, and I'm absolutely bowled over here lately. I really am. I try and understand the other side. I try and always put myself in their shoes. I don't get it. I don't know how any rational human being could look at what's happened over the last few years and go say, please, sir, give me some more. I'm at a loss. I really am. I just don't get it. We've got a guy in John Sidney McCain running for president who says that he doesn't know anything about economics. He has, that has come out of his mouth. John McCain has tried to portray himself as fiscally responsible, and that he's a deficit hawk who can be trusted to balance the budget. And the truth is, during his time in Washington, McCain has repeatedly voted to protect Junior Bush's tax cuts, which everybody knows, any responsible economist knows, has added trillions of dollars to our national debt for the next generations of Americans to pay off, your kids, my kids, and grandkids to pay off. And now that he's out on the campaign trail, he's desperate to suck up to the right-wingers. And so John Sidney McCain has promised to make those tax cuts permanent. And not only that, that's not good enough for him. He's going to ask for some more. Of course, he doesn't know how he's going to pay for those tax cuts. The same time, he's still fighting two wars. There are budget estimates out that the cost of continuing this war and making the Bush tax cuts permanent is $6.3 trillion. But being the consummate politician that he is, he's out talking about, well, we're going to cut the earmarks. Earmarks, and I know they're a pain for everybody, and they are. I don't approve of them either, but they're only 4% of the deficit and don't amount to only but 6 weeks of the spending on the Iraq War. Four more years of this would be $6.3 trillion. And he, the man says he doesn't understand economics. He was at a editorial board meeting recently with the Wall Street Journal, their editorial board, and John McCain said, and let me quote him, he said he really doesn't understand economics. And then he pointed to his advisor and former Senate colleague, Phil Graham, whom he brought with him to the meeting, as the expert he turns to on the subject. So, yes, sir. If you want more. And is there any is there anybody amongst you that can say, well, I shouldn't say it that way. Certainly there are people who are doing well. I don't want to say there's nobody doing well, because there are. But looking at society as a whole here in this country right now, we're not doing well. And forget about your selfish ass self for a minute. Think about the whole country. Think about the economic well-being of this entire country. And tell me it's a good idea to pull the lever for John Sidney McCain. Only a fool would do that if he's looking out for the welfare of this country. Only a fool. And I do mean that. I'm astonished that anybody could do that. I really am. We're going to pause for a break. We'll be right back.
Tell me lies, but hold me tight. And save your goodbyes for the morning light. But don't let me be lonely tonight. Say goodbye and say hello. Sure enough, good to see you, but it's time to go. Don't say yes, but please don't say no. I don't see me getting down on my knees. I'm undecided and your heart's been divided. You've been turning my world upside down. Right now, baby, go on and tell me lies, but hold me tight. Save your goodbyes for the morning light, but don't let me be lonely tonight. I don't want to be lonely tonight. No.
Part of some something good. Leave something good behind. The curtain falls. I take my bow. That's how it's meant to be. It's your world now. It's your world now. It's your world now.
Oh, sweet. Music. Sweet music. It's part of that new Eagles set called The Long Road Out of Eden. I love the Eagles. I always have. They don't make an album very often nowadays, but when they do, it's just killer. Maybe you don't agree with me, but that's why they make so many kinds of music. I do love the Eagles. My, oh my, that's love that song. 866-546-5254 if you'd like to join us on the program. We got a good long time left in the program, and we'd love to hear from you. I was looking for a word a while back, and John from Cape Coral reminded me of it. It's usury that I was looking for. Sometimes you just can't coax that word. Usury, these credit card companies. You know, it's fascinating to me that a lot of these people are supposedly good Christians. You know, there's a passage in the Bible about that, and don't ask me to quote it, but it talks about interest and so forth taken from the poor. And it's rampant right now, absolutely rampant, and I'm ashamed that people do that, and to the least among you and all that. I hope everybody will get over this thing. I got several emails during the break and during the top of the news that I didn't get a chance to talk about. But I hope everybody will relax and take a deep breath here in the next few weeks. So over and over again these past few days, I'm hearing about how the party's going to be torn apart if we don't get the selection of our nominee over with. Please. I ask everybody that's saying that, have you not seen a primary election before? Do you not remember Karl Rove's dirtiest political trick ever in South Carolina against John McCain? And what happened? The Republicans took the White House, and McCain ended up kissing Bush's ass in 2008. Just so, come on, this is a primary election. The stuff going on between Obama and Clinton is child's play compared to the negative campaigning that I've seen in the past. And let me just quote you an article that I found earlier today out of Slate magazine. It says, like the calls for Al Gore to concede the presidency to George Bush in November 2000, this anxiety about the imagined consequences of a protracted fight misreads both history and the calendar. In 2000, pundits seemed not to know that contested elections in previous years, notably the 1960 race between John F. Kennedy and Richard Nixon, remained officially unresolved until barely a month before Inauguration Day. And so they talked as if each hour of uncertainty brought the Republic nearer to doom. The calls to wrap up the Democratic primary race show a similar amnesia. And to suggest that March 5th marks a late date in the calendar ignores the duration of primary seasons past. Indeed, were Hillary Clinton to have pulled out of the race this week, Obama would have actually clinched a contested race for the party's nomination earlier than almost any Democrat since the current primary system took shape, and the sole exception of that being John Kerry 4 years ago. Fighting all the way through the primaries, and in other words, is perfectly normal. So I hope everybody will calm down a little bit over it. You remember how the media was running wild in 2000 during the controversy over who won the election. They were just absolutely breathless day and night. They had people believing there'd be tanks in the street if things weren't settled within hours. All I'm really saying over this is chill out a little bit. It's going to work itself out. There are benefits. The Republicans are having to run against two candidates for now. And that isn't a bad thing. They won't know which one of them to attack the most. And their slime machine, maybe it can't work fast enough for two of them still in the race. And I'll talk about the polls in a moment that came out, but I still say it's no sweat for the Democrats. We will win the White House no matter which one of our candidates is nominated. And you know, there's been talk about money. We've been outraising the Republicans on a massive scale during this election season, and I don't see any reason for that to stop. It's not going to stop. I mean, look at it. The economy's in the toilet, and they're still raising huge amounts of money. And the thing is, the American workers have finally figured out, a lot of them anyway, most recently in Ohio, they figured out they've been left holding the bag by rich and powerful people. And I knew they'd finally catch on. And they have. And yes, we've got some time to go yet in this primary. The Republicans are going to spend this time sharpening their knives. They're ready to run a campaign so negative it'll make the attacks against Gore and Kerry look like probably the proverbial walk in the park. But I firmly believe, I do, that both of our candidates have enough love of country and respect for the party that neither of them will do anything to irreparably damage it. And I believe Barack Obama is a man of great integrity, and he's a patriot. I haven't met him, but I know those who have, and they've come to greatly admire and respect him. I have met and talked with Hillary Clinton at length on three occasions, and I do know her to be an intelligent, engaging, compassionate woman who really cares about what happens to this country. I don't care what anybody says. I guess my point here is let the media go ahead and have their fun. Let them pad their ratings by blathering on and on and on about the Democratic race and how down and dirty it is and how the Democrats are suffering because of it. See it for what it is and keep it in mind. We'll win this race no matter what they say. We will. Let's head on over to the phone. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
Guy, hey, it's Sandra again. I don't know, I can't stop calling your show.
Hi, Sandra.
Touching on these issues, but you touched on something that has really been bothering me. Is the, if my candidate doesn't win, I'm not going to vote, or I'm going to vote for McCain. That whole cry, you know what I mean? Every show I listen to, you get people calling in talking about how it's going to, you know, leave people sitting at home. And I'm just thinking, are we this immature? Supreme Court, there's so many reasons to vote for a Democrat no matter what. I'm sick to death of the sort of pulling your marbles and going home attitude that, I don't know if they're new voters. I don't know who they are.
Well, some of that's immaturity. Some of it's hot-headedness. They'll get over it.
but it's just because it just seems sounds ridiculous.
Oh, it does.
When I hear it.
It
because
does.
It's like, you know, you will vote for whatever Democrat is running. You know what I mean?
Well, Sandra, and you mentioned you said the magic word a minute ago. If you didn't have another reason in the world to pull the lever for a candidate, you mentioned it, Supreme Court.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's like when I am sitting here sort of despairing about it, that is my last refuge because no matter what, Hillary or Obama, they're not going to pack the courts with more Alitos and that weirdo Roberts because – you know, I'm thinking about my little nieces. These bastards will be there forever, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And they're really quite horrific now with how they're trying to roll back all protections for workers and let corporations kill people with their products and too bad for you. That seems to be the latest thing that's going down with the Supreme Court. And I'm just sort of thinking, you know, people need to sort of check all the issues, not just their little popularity contest, you know?
Well, I talked about that on one of the shows here not too long ago about our big tent, and our tent is huge. And doggone it, it's not too big, but people need to understand that maybe we need to walk to the back of the tent once in a while, and our issue, maybe for the good of everybody in the tent, maybe we better just hang loose for a while. And I'm not saying about any particular group, but Democrats are liberals. We're a weird bunch. Some people will fight to the death for their one single cause, just like you said. And the doggone Republicans are not like that. They stick together no matter what.
Well, that's what I'm saying. And also the whole sort of not being able to understand the sort of big picture. I mean, I don't mean to be divisive, but, you know, this is kind of war. It's us and these Republican pernicious, I don't know what to call them, but, you know, the country can't take another run with that McCain or any other conservative governance. You know what I mean?
No.
We need a break.
Pernicious is the word. You're absolutely right. And I hope everybody does remember. The first words out of your mouth, practically, when you said about the Supreme Court, if I don't care if you have nothing to do with McCain or Obama or Hillary. Just think about that.
No, that's my thing. But anyway, I'll let you go. I know you want to wrap your show up, but have a good weekend.
Thanks for calling, Sandra.
All right, bye.
Yeah, please don't get caught up in that. I know. I was young once myself. I still think I am at heart anyway. And I know we can be very hard-headed. I can be very hard-headed. But please use all the reason that you can sum it up when you're looking at this campaign. Don't let this media hype over this primary get to you. It's the sun's going to rise tomorrow. The sun's going to rise 7 weeks from now. Whenever it is, if it's at the last day of the convention, what is it, August 25th, 26th, 27th, maybe August 28th, I'm not sure. I think 28th is the last day of the convention. If it's that day, or maybe, well, we would not do it on the last day, but if it's the 26th or 27th of August when we choose our candidate, that'll work. That will work. If it comes down to that, it'll be okay, believe me. And we may have some real fistfights between now and then. We may bloody each other's lips and mess our hair and tear one another's clothing. But come the last of August there in Denver, whoever's standing on that podium is going to beat John Sidney McCain. And that's important. I don't care how you cut it. And Sandra just said the magic word right there. If for no other reason whatsoever, do think of the Supreme Court, because either one of them is not going to pack the court with some radical right-wingers like your Alitos. So do keep that in mind. And I know we're faced for a long, hard slog here with the pundits just hammering away with all this stuff. But it'll be okay. Take it from Guy. It'll be okay. The new polls out show Obama leading McCain by 12 percentage points, 52 to 40, and Senator Clinton leading McCain by 6 points. And if we were down to one candidate, when we get down to one candidate, it's going to widen even further. Mark my word, it will. So let's forget our little petty squabbles. They're not petty. I don't mean to be dismissive of people, but let's forget our squabbles, and let's hang together on this, and let's defeat John Sidney McCain. That's putting your eye on the prize right there. Remember the picture of him standing beside Junior Bush yesterday. That's all you need to remember. Have that picture in your mind. If you're one of these folks deciding, well, I'm not going to vote for Hillary, I'm not going to vote for Obama, whichever way it goes, if your candidate loses, you remember that picture of them standing on that porch yesterday together. And you remember exactly what's going to happen if that man should win the presidency. You might as well just keep Junior Bush in the White House, because that's exactly what we'll be having again. No doubt about it. They'll make sure of it. Thanks so much for joining us here today. Do remember what I said about helping to support the show. We need your support with the show. We really do. Thanks for joining us here on the Guy James Show and the Head On Radio Network. Thanks to Billy Shears, our music director. And thanks to all of you for listening. And don't forget, you've heard from the radical right. Now all that's left is the truth.